Before I start my sermon this morning and read our New Testament text, just a couple of moments of some sharing. That's Psalm 84. You've seen it strung together throughout our worship service this day, and that's intentional. Once we saw what the Psalm of the day was, that's the Psalm of the day today. That's what's in the lectionary for this year, and it's got so much to do with singing praises to God. In fact, if there's a statement of purpose to be a music director in a congregation, it's in Psalm 84. My heart and soul shall sing for joy, joy to the living God. That's the job description. My colleague Carl Zinsmeister has been an ever-present person in my life the last 13 years that I've had the privilege to work alongside of him. And like Greer said, it wasn't just me trying to teach Carl things. It was mostly Carl teaching me. And that's the truth. And I'm so grateful to have had this privilege to call him colleague and friend. One thing about Carl is he is the most efficient person I've ever met at deflecting praise. He might run away after the service today. But if you do want to find him and give him your thanksgiving on September 22nd, following the 11 o'clock worship service, we're going to have a congregation-wide acknowledgement and celebration of his service with us. And we thank God for the calling in Carl's life to share gifts of music and to share them here with us in this place. So Carl and Laura, know that we thank God for each of you. That you leave here with our prayers and with every hope for a wonderful future. I'm going to count to three, and we're all going to say thank you. Carl doesn't want applause, but we're going to say thank you. So on three. Ready? One, two, three.
Thank you, Carl.
I do also need to acknowledge, and she's not going to like this either, but I'm going to ask Kelly Abraham to raise her hand. And she's here. Carl is such an important person in the National Church's Ministry of Music, that he's on the board of the Presbyterian Association of Musicians, and Kelly is the president of that. And so she's here with us today. Say again?
Executive Director.
Did I say president? Executive Director. Did y'all hear the correction coming out from the preacher snuffer up here? My apologies, Kelly. Whatever your title is, we are so happy that you're here to celebrate your friend alongside of us. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My heart and soul sing for joy, joy to the living God. Amen. Our New Testament text this day is Ephesians chapter 6, and we continue our preaching in Ephesians. I've spent more time in Ephesians this year than I have any year previous, and I just really wanted to commit to preaching through it on these days when it's the lectionary, the epistle text and the lectionary. And I hope you've enjoyed me preaching this last month on Ephesians, and today is sort of one of the final entries in that little mini-series within the text. This is Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. Listen with me that the Holy Spirit would show us something of the Word of God this day. The apostle writes, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly, as I must speak. These words, Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20, and also from the 84th Psalm, are for us this day by the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. And now may the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, find acceptance in God Almighty, who is our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, no one in my family likes commercials. You know, commercials, you're watching a TV show that you're watching, and it's about to reach some climactic point, and you know, like, you're going to find out who done it, or the big laugh is coming, and suddenly the screen goes blank, and you're looking at toothpaste, missing the show that you were previously watching. In fact, they dislike them so much that whenever I'm watching something that has one, my teenagers and 20-year-olds kind of roll their eyes and laugh at me, because they watch no commercials. Everything they watch is streaming on something that gets charged to my credit card, and I have no idea how this actually happens. I just know it does. And I don't love the commercials either, but I really do appreciate them. And here's why. I'm in the communications business. With every worship service that I plan, every sermon that I preach, every article that I write, every letter to the congregation I write, every email that I write to any member of our church family, I am constantly communicating. And so I appreciate a commercial's ability to communicate a clear message in 30 seconds or 1 minute at a time. Because if you can communicate a clear message in less than a minute, then you've done something really well. My favorite commercial of the past year was a Progressive Insurance commercial. It's part of their What Really Happened series. And you can go, and these things are all over the internet. And I think they have like a website that explains their commercials. So there are a lot of Progressive Insurance commercials. We all know this. On this particular episode of the What Really Happened series, we see a happy couple who's just arrived in an SUV loaded down with stuff for a family camping trip. The husband, as he's unpacking the car, asks the wife, "Hey, where are the life jackets?" And we all know that you need life jackets for canoeing or for water sports with kids. Adults should wear them too, but you really have to have them with kids. If you have children under 16 in a canoe or a boat, you're actually breaking the law if they don't have a life jacket. So bring your life jackets. "So, hey, honey, where are the life jackets?" To which she says, "You said that you were going to pack them." And he says, "No, you said you were going to pack them." And I'm sure that doesn't sound familiar to anybody here today. I'm sure I'm the only one that's happened to. What does the wife do? Well, if you don't watch NFL football much, the head coach of an NFL football team has a red flag that he can throw that begins a process of replay. So the wife pulls out the replay flag and throws it on the ground, and she says, "Well, let's go to the replay." To which these monitors show up, magically out of the woods, and they watch what really happened at the house, thus what really happened. And the husband completely fails. Right? He said, "I'll bring the life jackets." But either way, they're no longer going on the water during their family trip. And there is disappointment when it's all over. Now, while this is all very tongue-in-cheek, and it's a bit of commercial comedy, it brings us to a critical point. We have to prepare if we're going to go on a journey. I mean, who doesn't prepare to leave home? I mean, no, if you have a 4-day family weekend, you can't refuse to pack enough clothes for the occasions. You can't not make the hotel reservation. It doesn't work. You'll be out of place, and a spoiler. Nobody has ever left for a long road trip in the car with no gas, or a plan at least to gas up after you get on the road a little ways, or for some of you, charge up. In fact, if you have an electric car, you kind of got to know where the charges are, or you won't get very far. You don't show up at the airport, do you, without identification documents and no ticket and no boarding pass and no plan to get one? We just don't do that. Because taking a journey means to be prepared and packed and ready to go. You don't go to a great museum or a great cultural event or a festival without your without your camera and at least a schedule of events or a map of the attractions. Just like you don't go canoeing without the jackets, the paddles, or even the canoe. You see, every journey to the beach, to the mountains, to see family, to go overseas requires some sort of preparation. That's the thrust of Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, our guiding text for today. It's about being prepared for the Christian journey, about what it takes to go on the journey with Christ. Now, keep in mind, this is not a here to there sort of journey. This isn't one that starts one place and ends one place, and you're like, good, I'm done. That Christian thing, woo, I finished the trip. No, the Christian journey ultimately has no final exam. There's no destination where you turn the car off and you get out, and that's as far as you go. No, it's waking up today, tomorrow, 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 and saying, Jesus, I'm here to follow. Christ, I'm here to continue in your footsteps. It's an each and every day kind of thing. It's never a here to there proposition, because the walk with Jesus and the walk for Jesus and the walk with God and the walk for God are the very journey that we are supposed to be on our entire lives. And Ephesians says, you need to be prepared for this journey of faith. You need to be prepared for living the gospel in the greater world around us. Well, why? Because the world around us doesn't always agree with what the gospel says. Doesn't always agree. Following Jesus, some people don't ever appreciate it. For example, the world says, especially in all those commercials that I end up watching, the world says that the purpose of life is to acquire and hoard as much as you can get your hands on, as though the person that dies with the most stuff at the end of their days is the one who wins. But the gospel says no. It says share as much as you can. Something very different. The world around you says it's best for you to keep your neighbors at arm's length. You don't know what they really do behind closed doors. But the gospel says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. The world says that, you know what? Your mistakes will follow you your whole life long. That is all that people are going to remember about you. They're going to define who you become. But the gospel says that forgiveness and second chances are part of God's plan, that they're hardwired into the system. The world says death is the end. The gospel says that death is but an opportunity for a new and different beginning. So living the gospel can be hard. It is at best an upstream paddle or a jog into the wind. And if you ever paddled upstream at the end of a long day or turned towards home and jogged into the wind, it takes commitment. It takes commitment to get out of that boat. So we prepare for this journey by looking at texts like Ephesians. And Ephesians tells us here in chapter 6 to put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God against gravity, the gravity of history, and against the depths of sin. The whole armor of God against the powers and principalities of the world and the natural and supernatural forces that seek to pull us down into dark actions and dark places. To do this, Ephesians tells us about the belt of truth. Tell the truth, it says. It talks about the breastplate of righteousness. Try to do the right thing. It talks about the shield of faith. Believe, even when you feel like everything is against you. It tells us about the helmet of salvation. Trust that Jesus can forgive and can save. And the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Know what's in God's word in order that it might equip you to be faithful. And this metaphor, the belt, the breastplate, the shield, the helmet, it becomes one of the most enduring and popular biblical metaphors found anywhere in the Bible, because not only is it memorable, but it's honest on two points. The first is that it is telling us, by calling it the armor of God and giving us a breastplate and a shield, that the journey with Christ is hard. Discipleship is hard. And it can be hard even when we believe a lot. Even when our own faith is totally secure, it can get hard when suffering or hurt or loss comes. When we have lost much, that's what we need to remember, the way that God has called us to live. When we have lost much, that's when we must remember that sometimes the journey with Jesus is a difficult one. It always has been true, And it always will be true. The second sort of truth that Ephesians 6 tells us is that God has actually given us the right equipment to be able to endure the challenges of the journey itself. God has given us what we need for the journey with Christ. God has given us truth, righteousness, faith, salvation, the Holy Spirit. Of all the rhetorical passages in the Bible, and of all the great metaphors found in the Bible, this one is among the most important. And in fact, if there were like an Olympics of great texts in the epistles, I think this one would be on the medal stand. I don't know if it's gold, silver, or bronze, but it would be on the medal stand, in my opinion, of the writings of Paul. And it's one of those things that I believe it's worth committing to memory, and if not to memory, at least to heart. There is a catch, though. It isn't always a catch. Seems like it. And the catch is this. If we are going to benefit at all from these tools that God has given us, then we have to receive them, we have to accept them, and we actually have to employ them if they're going to do us any good. In other words, the next time you're really tempted to lie and it would be really convenient not to tell somebody the truth, right? And it would get you out of like hours of more conversations and complexity, right then is when you tell the truth. That's a simple example, but that's what it means to have the belt of truth on. If that's ever going to benefit us, we actually have to use it. God has given us the tools. Are we going to employ them? Now, up till now, I have left out my favorite of the metaphors of these images that Ephesians uses. It happens at verse 15 when Ephesians says, as shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will help you proclaim the gospel of peace. It just so happens, I don't know if you ever think about shoes much, but look at your feet real quick. It just so happens that shoes are massively important. You cannot get very far down the trail, the path, or the road, or the river without them. Just take your shoes off barefoot and walk down to the Village District. You're going to step on a rock or a nut or a pine cone. Like, it's not pleasant. It's not an easy thing to do, to say nothing of trying to hike through a creek or on a mountain trail. You can get away with it at the beach, but you know what? About mid-July at 2 in the afternoon, the sand's hot. So you probably need some sandals there too. There's a reason why we all are wearing shoes right now. Not just because of no shoes, no shirt, no service. I think it would be impossible to leave on any journey without the right shoes. In fact, if you ask doctors or nurses that you know, they'll tell you that foot injuries are bad. First, they limit our mobility. You can't do the things you need to do so efficiently. And second, the way our body heals most efficiently is from the inside out. In other words, these parts here, your torso, how you eat and digest and how you think and see, these heal really fast. Fingers and toes, not so much. Oh, they will heal, but it takes longer. That's just evolution. That's just the way we have been made. So shoes, it turns out, are really important. They're important to health and welfare. And that was true when Ephesians was written, and they're true thousands of years later. And in terms of this journey with Christ, just like shoes are essential to any journey, I think they're essential to this one too. The genius of Ephesians and its use of shoes is that the shoes are to equip us for the journey to proclaim the gospel of peace. The end of the journey of faith is nothing less than the gospel of peace. And what is peace? Well, peace is an absence of conflict in our own hearts, in our homes, our communities, our neighborhoods, our schools, our country, even the world. You know peace when you see it. And it is one of the most precious possibilities that we have ever been given as children of the living God. And what Ephesians says is that wherever you are on your journey, the shoes that you have on that journey should be driving you toward the end of peace. And it doesn't matter what they are. Put whatever on that will lead you to the gospel of peace. I think that's one of the most profound things in all of the Bible. And so as you follow God, as you follow Jesus, if you don't feel like you're being led toward peace, that you're on the wrong path for some reason, or you got the wrong set of directions, or you read the wrong memo, stop and redirect yourself toward the end of peace. I am reminded of the 1990s bumper sticker I used to see in the parking lot at Queens College in Charlotte, where I worked before I left for seminary. And the bumper sticker was really, really easy. It was a light blue background with white letters on it. And it said, "No Jesus, no peace, no Jesus, no peace." Only there's a funny thing about English. The word N-O and K-N-O-W sound like the same word. So N-O Jesus, N-O peace, K-N-O-W Jesus, K-N-O-W peace. Jesus wants us on the pathways to peace. Too often, I think, we think, you know, I just need to get to the start and it's all done. Just give us Jesus and we'll be fine. And that's true. I think we need the grace of God. I absolutely do. But just like these three precious little girls today, ladies, it's the start. It's not the end. Yeah. It's the start. It's just the beginning. And if you don't believe me, that's fine. Just go and read about the disciples. Once they were baptized and they started following Jesus, their lives got inherently more difficult. It would have been easier for them if they just kept fishing. Yeah. But guess what? The good news is that God has equipped us for that journey. No matter what the headwinds or headwaters may be, we have been equipped for that journey just like the disciples who endured in spite of the challenges. Our being here today is proof enough of this. We wouldn't be sitting here if the disciples hadn't have endured. And I guess part of the reason they did is they used the tools that God had given them. So friends, I think that's good news. It tells us that we just might be on the right path, and it gives us guidance as to what we should do if we're not. And if that's not good news, that Christ has called us all to give witness to the gospel of peace, then I don't know what is. Friends, today, may God give you and me faith enough to equip ourselves to pray for the journey and to live for nothing less than the calling of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. And amen. Just a reminder that following my benediction, we have a choral benediction. And then if you do have the time, it would be lovely for you to stay for the postlude today as well. Anyway, that I think is pretty obvious. What do you say, Dr. Z?
It's long. It's 7 minutes.
So. But if you can stay, you won't be disappointed, I promise. Friends, go in peace to love and serve the Lord, and especially to go on your journey with Christ out there in the world around you. Go in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer of all of our lives, to go out into the world to be a blessing in a world that desperately needs them. Amen.